This is Digital Communicators, the comms focus show for the tech sector.
Hi, my name's Simon Coughlin. I'm a director here at Babel. Welcome to the Digital Communicators podcast. Today is the latest in our series looking at the B2B technology trends for 2024. I'm delighted to be joined by Shelley Kramer. Shelley is the managing director and principal analyst at The Cube Research, the analyst arm of popular enterprise technology media platforms, The Cube and SiliconANGLE. During her career, Shelley has worked with some of the world's largest tech brands to help them embrace disruption and successfully navigate the process of digital transformation. She regularly advises and collaborates with senior leaders at major technology companies, covering a wide range of products and services, including cloud, AI, ESG, 5G, enterprise apps and automation. Shelley has been recognized as one of the world's leading technology analysts and a B2B marketing influencer. Shelley, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, it's great to be here.
Can you kick off by talking about your career to date, what you're up to at the moment, and outline your main passions and interests in the world of technology?
So my career to date, I've had an interesting career path, and I think that I will say that I'm a mother of four children, all girls, and one of the things that I've tried to share with them, my oldest two are grown and in their 40s, and my youngest two are high school seniors getting ready to go to college, so I have a little bit of a gap there in my procreation span. But anyway, one of the things I try to tell my kids all the time is that we spend our whole lives pivoting and figuring out what we want to be when we grow up. For me, when I was working on my undergraduate degree, I always thought I wanted to go to law school, and that ended up not working out, and I landed in marketing, which was not something that was on my radar screen at all. And I managed to spend a 25 plus year career as a marketing brand strategist. I started my first company, my first marketing consulting company, when I was 34. And then I morphed from, I would say for the bulk of the time I worked in marketing, my clients were generally in the B2B space, and with an occasional B2C client tossed in for good measure and to keep me on my toes. And really, probably about a decade or more ago, I started focusing on the technology space and working with clients like WebEx and Microsoft and IBM and SAP. And really, I think part of my path to success has been that from an early stage, I realized what digital transformation was going to involve and what kind of a shift that meant that organizations of all sizes were going to make. And the fact that it was technology combined with a change of people and processes that was going to be the key to successful digital transformation. And so that's just a little bit about my journey.
Great. And your current role as managing director at The Cube Research, what does that involve?
We provide advisory services, custom research services, all different kinds of rich media content creation. And really what we do is we analysts work in partnership with technology companies, and we understand the market that they serve. In many instances, we also work with their competitors, so we bring a lot of knowledge to the table. We understand the market, their customers, their prospects, their challenges to barriers to sale and things like that. So we might work with our clients on developing go-to-market messaging or message testing, or walking through as they're conceiving a product launch and what that strategically looks like. Or we might be able to advise and provide insights on what's actually happening within the market and what kind of trends we see based on the research that we do. So we really work in partnership with our customers. And sometimes that's analyst relations teams, and sometimes that's product teams, and sometimes it's product marketing teams or PR or influencer teams. So our work spans across an organization, and we might touch those client relationships in myriad different ways.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be aware of SiliconANGLE, and also will no doubt have watched a lot of the interviews at the big events hosted by The Cube. What's the overlap between your work and that of those two platforms, The Cube and SiliconANGLE?
SiliconANGLE is our media arm of the company. So we have a team of tech journalists who are covering and reporting on all the happenings in the industry. The Cube is, in some instances, it's our live event offering. In other instances, we have studios in Palo Alto and in Boston. Our founders are located in each of those locales, but it's not unusual at all for us to have clients into one of our offices and do a day of filming. As I mentioned, we create a lot of rich media content. We've always been a video first firm. And really how the Cube research fits in there is that we already have deep relationship with and serve our enterprise and emerging technology clients on a regular basis, and pairing a research advisory offering with those services just made sense to us.
I mentioned at the outset of this conversation the range of different technologies which you focus on. What have been some of the key topics that you've been speaking with clients about over the past 12 months?
AI. Yep. AI and more AI.
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm going to stop there because it doesn't matter what your focus is. And I would say this is as true if you're a technology brand as it is if you're a customer. You could be in the security space. You could be already in the automation space. You could be a cloud provider. You could be a managed services provider that provides a wealth of technology services. But AI is impacting everything that we do across every sector. And so from a vendor standpoint, that's what most people seem to be thinking about and talking about and trying to get arms around. And then from a customer standpoint, that is also, of course, we always see a variation in terms of adoption of new technology. When you've got your laggards and people who are going much slower than others, and then you've got people who are going all in. And I'll point to companies like IBM, where CEO Arvind Krishna announced more than a year ago that they were going to pause hiring in a significant way. And by the way, this was even before ChatGPT became on everyone's lips and became partner of Microsoft and all of that sort of thing. So large organizations in many respects have already been looking at how to integrate technology into operations, how we're going to use AI, how we're going to use generative AI. And so that really is a topic that is top of mind for just about everybody. And then there's, again, security. Like I'm doing a webcast right after this conversation, and it's my weekly cybersecurity show. And we're doing an episode on the threats AI poses in the cybersecurity space. So I think across the board, that's something that everybody's really looking at and focusing on and trying to get arms around.
So on AI, obviously that has been the key topic that we've been speaking about to journalists on behalf of our clients over the past year. And as you say, even for our cybersecurity clients, it's been about discussing what are the AI generated threats which companies are facing, but also how are cybersecurity companies going to use AI itself to enhance their ability to scan for threats and respond to threats. Yeah, it's certainly going to be a hot topic throughout 2024 as well. I've been asking interviewees as part of this series for views on the extent to which AI has been overhyped. There's been a lot of predictions that 2024 will be the year that we need to see some tangible evidence of how AI is being used at the enterprise level. Do you think there has been a certain level of overhype over AI?
Yes and no. I think with anything like this, you're going to have situations where you have overhype. But I think on the other side of this, there are situations where there's not enough hype. And I'm going to give you an example. I truly believe that AI will impact every industry and almost every role and every organization, regardless of its size. And some bigger impacts, some smaller impacts. But leveraging this kind of technology can provide some significant advantages. You're always going to have people who are out in front of the pack, who are not afraid of change, who want to be able to have an early adopter advantage and all that sort of thing. And then you're going to have companies who are much slower to adopt, whether it's, and this is largely a leadership-driven thing. You either believe or you don't believe, you allocate budget or you don't allocate budget, all different kinds of things, different levels of knowledge and sophistication. But what concerns me, I mentioned before, I have twin almost 18-year-old daughters who are in their last year of high school getting ready to go to college. And what they are not learning about and what they are not hearing about enough is artificial intelligence. And they are not getting insights from counselors or from teachers that challenge them to think about how AI might change the workforce that they're going to be entering in a short handful of years. And I see people talking about my daughter's majoring in journalism, and I'll ask, have you paid any attention? Have you spent any time researching the impact of AI on journalism? Because that, of course, is something near and dear to my heart. I write every day. Journalists are part of my world. And I pay a lot of attention to what's happening in the publishing industry. And it's not good things. And the responses that I'll get from parents or from young people is that they don't even have any clue that AI is impacting the world of publishing or the work of journalists in any way whatsoever. And they're just thinking about a career choice based on what they might know about what a journalist does over the course of the last 20 years and what we've seen in movies and that sort of thing. But the reality of it is there are many professions that AI is having a profound impact on. And so I think that understanding that, doing your homework, and then being able to factor that into the decisions you make are incredibly important.
Away from the world of AI, what are your top tips for some of the most influential areas of technology for 2024?
Security remains in every bit of research that we do, even while AI today captures the top spot in terms of areas of interest. Security has long been a primary concern, both of CISOs within an organization and IT teams, as well as leadership. We have so many instances that have really shaken us. The SolarWinds hack, the Colonial Pipeline hack, the MGM casino hack that happened just recently. There's so many instances of security breaches. We've got lots of nation state actors at play here, China, North Korea, Russia. We're all fighting against each other, trying to ward off the bad guys and keep the good guys at the front. So security continues to be hugely important. Of course, cloud continues to be super important. And we had a situation early on when cloud came onto the scene where it was the best thing since sliced bread and migrating everything to the cloud is the way to go and all of that sort of thing. And I don't say this in any way to take away from the importance of cloud, but then what started happening is that costs started spiraling and really getting somewhat unmanageable. So companies started stepping back and saying, we thought this cloud thing was really cool, and it is really cool, but we need to figure out like a hybrid cloud strategy. We need to figure out a multi-cloud strategy, and we need to figure out how to contain and moderate costs. And we need to figure out, oh, wait, there's an opportunity to work with a vendor that allows us to scale up and scale down quickly based on usage, or there's a vendor that doesn't require their terms and conditions are such that we don't have a vendor lock-in issue or anything like that. So you've got cloud and all the nuances of cloud. You've got security and all the nuances there. And then, of course, you've got sustainability. And I've long felt that we've spent the last almost decade focusing on all things digital transformation. And I think that continues to be the case. Digital transformation is not a journey that ever ends. You're always on this journey. But I think that the journey of sustainability is very similar. And I think that what we're seeing now is we've got companies of all sizes who've made some massive commitments as to where they're going to be in terms of net zero emissions and that sort of thing by such and such, by 2030 or by 2025. And I think what we've seen over the course of the last couple of years is though many organizations going, holy moly, okay, we said we were going to do this. How are we actually going to make it happen? And what guidance do we need? And what technology solutions do we need? And what does success look like here? And how can we help our customers keep their fingers on the pulse of this? And so I think that those three things are probably some pretty significant things.
As we speak, we're planning for the year ahead, looking at what conferences and exhibitions we'll be attending in the UK and abroad. From your perspective as an analyst, what conferences are you planning to head to? Are you going to be traveling much this year?
Traveling is a prerequisite for people in my roles. And so, yes, absolutely. What I do, generally speaking, is go from event to event. And we put on our own events here at the Cube as well. We do all kinds of events, a super cloud event and a cybersecurity event and AI focused events. But I'll be at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. I will be at a Cisco event in the EU. And oh my gosh, tons of cybersecurity events coming up. Enterprise Connect, I do a lot in the customer experience collaboration space. Enterprise Connect is coming up in March. So I have a full calendar of client events that'll take me all over the world.
Great. NWC in Barcelona is probably the biggest event for us here at Babel. We've got a number of telco clients who are going to be there. So we will be there. So hopefully we can meet in person. Just finally, Shelley, where can listeners find out more about your work and the Cube Research?
You can find us on our website, and it's cuberesearch.com. You can also find us at SiliconANGLE or siliconangle.com, anything that you go to, or just Google SiliconANGLE or Shelley Kramer Cube Research, and you'll be able to find me very easily. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I am there as Shelley DeMott Kramer. I encourage you to reach out and connect with me. I'd love to get acquainted, but thank you so much for having me, Simon. It's been a fantastic conversation.
You're welcome, Shelley, and best wishes for the year ahead.
Thank you. Same to you.
For more information about Babel and other episodes of this podcast, head to www.babelpr.com/podcasts.